2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning, good morning. Just now that we've got this special, little small special election about done, for, and put to bed, then we'll be working away on the next election, which is the primary. And just waiting for all of the nomination papers to come in and all of that. Everybody, I got that list on our website. Anybody that wants to.
When is that, the ninth?
No, the filing deadline for the primary election for the parties is the 25th.
But the election is the 9th of June?
No, no, the election is the 2nd of June. It's always the.
Oh, the first Tuesday?
The first Tuesday after the first Monday.
Okay.
So we have to add that little in there, so. But anyway, the 25th will be the last day for anybody to file papers to be on the primary ballot. If they are running as a Democrat or Republican, and anybody that's running as a no party for the general election. And that includes township trustees and clerks and soil and water. They all have to file their papers by the 20th of March. So we've got that whole list, and it's on our website, so if anybody wants to know dates, signatures, and all of that, because if you're running as a no party, you have a lot more signatures to collect.
Thanks, Terry. Rodney Wiesner, Maintenance.
Good morning. Just staying busy, nothing new to report.
Thank you. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Got a couple seasonal interns on the agenda to approve today, and then I got here fairly quick. Our AmeriCorps team arrived yesterday, and so we're in the peak of training right now, so I need to get there and join them for that.
Put them to work.
Yeah, so I'll be bugging out. We have 3 full days of training that we do with them, because a lot of them are, you know, fresh out of school, or may have little to no experience doing this kind of stuff, so a lot of training on the front end to make sure that they're capable of what we need them to do. But we're excited. It looks like a good team. There's 10 of them, and so should be able to get a lot done once we get them up and trained, so I'll be bugging out of here fairly quickly.
Thanks, Chris. Jared, Land Use.
Well, we've had a few new inquiries over the last week. It seems like with the warm weather, people start coming out with their new ideas that we haven't yet heard before. So, but nothing particularly earth-shattering there. The big thing from this past week was not a local issue, but something from the state level, which I know Zach had spoken with you, Tom, about last week, about this proposed change to the state code chapter on county zoning, which would affect the eligibility for where members of a county zoning commission and board of adjustment can live. Because as it stands right now, the requirements are that a majority of the members must live in the zoned area. But under the proposed change, it would be all of them must live in the zoned area. Which the issue there, it sounds like the intention of this change was to prevent people who live in cities and incorporated cities from serving on county boards, because the majority of counties that are zoned are fully zoned, so that the only other areas people could possibly live are in cities. But there's a handful of counties like Des Moines where only a certain area is zoned, and this would disproportionately affect those because of the smaller pool of eligible people to serve on those boards. So that was kind of a...
It effectively disenfranchises about 6,000 people in Des Moines County.
Essentially, because,
I sent an email to Baldur's. If you haven't heard back from him, have you?
I'm not sure if Mike had a chance to talk to anybody yesterday. I know he had reached out to the governor's legal counsel to address this, since it's at this point it's been passed by both chambers. It just has to go to the governor to sign, but they're just working to see if there's a way to tweak that language so that instead of that, even if it would restrict people from living in cities, it would still allow the remainder of the county to serve if it's in a situation like Des Moines where only a portion is zoned. Because as it stands right now, we have two people on our seven-person zoning commission who live outside the 2 mile, and one on our five-person board of adjustment. And we've already been spending the better part of a year just getting filling positions that had vacated there. So, and being since we're in the middle of our update to our land use ordinances, as written, that change would result in us being down to two people on our commission who have been there for more than a year, because the only two that would be affected by this had been serving for a long time now, including the chairman, who lives about 3-4 miles north of town. So we're trying to work through this. We'll do what we have to, but we just found out about it last week after this had already been pushed through, so it was kind of blindsided there.
I think ISAC is registered against that bill.
Yeah. I sent an email about Langholt, the attorney. He's mentioned that, told him the board was concerned about disenfranchising 6,000 or several thousand Des Moines County residents, which they wouldn't be able to be on that zoning commission. That's how we do subdivision.
I understand the intent that's supposed to be for people that are affected by the zoning. So I understand having a majority be in that area makes sense, but to make it so that every single one...
I think it's something Johnson County wants.
That's exactly what happened. So big counties push this stuff through.
Yeah.
And the majority of the counties are small. They don't have all that population. So, bad deal.
And there's other situations where I think it's even worse. I think Appanoose County, they zone in the area right around Lake Rathbun. So, I mean, the population density there, we're probably only dealing with a few hundred people. So that's particularly challenging.
Well, a lot of times, and we've seen many times, and probably seen right now, is somebody comes up with this idea, and they go around and make it sound real good to everybody else, so they start running through.
Yeah.
Without thought.
Yeah. Well, that's the issue here. It's just that they assume that language applying to cities would be all they needed, but not realizing there's a few counties that would be uniquely disadvantaged because of the areas that are zoned and not. So.
Thank you, Jared. Ken Hyman, Community Services.
Good morning. Tomorrow we have our SEAL meeting, so we'll get a lot of work done tomorrow, and then I'm going off to ISAC Thursday and Friday. I know a number of us are, so I'll be out of the office, but trying to work with as many people as I can before I go. We've had a lot of clients that we're working with through the IHHs and just walk-ins, too, so keeping busy.
Thanks, Ken. Colin Gerst, IT.
Keep busy like always. We had a pretty unique day there last, I think Wednesday it was, where we had our air conditioning go out upstairs in our data center. So Rodney had to run up there and save us. We have a backup air conditioner up there as well. Decided it didn't want us to start as well. So we were kind of scrambling, trying to get windows open, get some fans going, so we didn't have our data center getting too hot, shutting stuff down. So thankfully Rodney dropped what he was working on, ran up there and helped get it part replaced in one of the air conditioners so that we can get back going to where we were. So I appreciate him coming up and doing that. But other than that, nothing really new to report. So.
Thanks, Colin. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney. What's it like not to be in court this morning?
I think it's the first Tuesday since the middle of January that I haven't been. So that's been kind of a nice day today. Yeah, we're just staying busy. Obviously, we've got a significant round of homicide trials finished, and then later this spring we'll start up with round two.
Thanks, Lisa. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Guys, you're out blading. Got a little moisture yesterday, which wasn't all bad. And chance maybe next week, if the weather allows, you might see our contract rock haul start up. So it's only out of LMW and Great River. But, so just depends on weather, but we may try to start that up and get that going. get some of it done ahead of our, what's going to be an extremely busy construction season. Went to a kind of a follow-up pre-con yesterday afternoon for the 61 paving project, and you're going to start seeing work on that here sooner or later. I guess sometimes it's hard to remember, it's already pushing mid-March, but sounds like the first closure of a county road is going to be coming up. They're talking about, if again, weather depending, but talking about closing Plank Road to redo some of that paving and grading and some stuff. And that was a temporary hookup at the beginning. We knew that from right off the bat. I don't have time frames, I don't have lengths, but they're talking possibly the week of March 23rd, seeing a closure there. And it sounds like anybody that's gone through Burlington on Roosevelt has noticed some patching painted out. They've got patches, well, if you pay attention to the road, maybe people are looking at their phone too, but there's patches painted out and they're all numbered and everything, and I think that was supposed to happen last year and the contractor never got to it, so kind of sounds like that might start up there in late March also. I think this entire area here before all that long is going to be a gigantic work zone, to be honest with you, and we're going to be a big part of that. Because I also know, and I the pre-con's not till the end of the month, so I'll let you know more, but they are going to do a bridge deck overlay on the big bridge here across the river this summer also. And that's DOT doing that. And then our contractor that's going to work on North Gear has at least requested the possibility of starting next week on North Gear. Obviously, again, yet again, that's a weather-depending thing, and they were still figuring out their schedules, so I can't sit here and tell you if that's going to happen or not for sure. But they did request the option. We did grant them that option with some stipulations about, again, weather. So kind of a lot of things getting ready to break loose, but boy, when they break loose, it's gonna be busy, and it's gonna be every which direction you look. You're gonna probably gonna want to watch the road signs more than your phone, because I'm not sure Google's gonna stay up with all the closures. So it'll be a lot of them, but it'll be good. A lot of stuff getting done.
So thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Krista Pogemiller, Local Health.
Good morning. We're continuing to keep busy with the COVID-19. You know, there's presumptive positive cases in the state of Iowa. So again, Iowa Department of Public Health urges everyone, the risk to an average person is still low. The risk is much higher from the flu. They're also saying that risk is actually dependent upon exposure. So someone who's been exposed to someone who's traveled to those countries or who has tested positive. I just remind everyone to prepare for this like you would a weather event. Make sure you cover your cough as well. Cover your cough, your sneezes, wash your hands, stay home when you're sick. And also encouraging people to do frequent cleaning, such as doorknobs, light switches, those type of things, just kind of to protect yourself and make sure you're washing your hands and meeting regularly with EMA and the hospital, just to keep that communication open as far as if anything should happen to change. But again, the risk to average most people is going to continue to be low at this point.
When I was in the Calumet Association, they talk about washing your hands for 20 seconds. Of course, we were cooking meat and fundraising and all that. And so they gave us a lesson on washing our hands. And they gave us some hand cream first, and we put it all on, and they said, go wash it off. So I came back and it was under a light. And none of us did a good job. When you see a doctor scrub for medicine or go to surgery, and they're able to move a brush, and you do it.
It is high.
So that 20 seconds is nothing as far as cleaning your hands.
Absolutely. Well, and they say, most people don't wash for 20 seconds, and so it's definitely, they sing happy birthday, sing a song to be able to get that 20 seconds, because it seems like time is longer than it is when you're washing your hands.
Yeah.
So definitely want to make sure. You're right. And there's a lot of those things out there, especially for like healthcare providers. They'll have, some sort of a powder that they put on, and then you're right, you put it under a black light and you still didn't get the hands very clean. So real important we wash our hands well.
What's the protocol on that now? If the hospital, if somebody's got this, do they tell you, the county nurse? And then you report that to state, is that the way that goes?
They have a number they call directly to, they have a EOC going at the Iowa Department of Public Health. And so they have a number calling directly to them who would give them directions as to what the next step is.
And if they call that number, then do they return call you so you know somebody who got it and where it's at?
Absolutely. The communication's there. And so if we had, say, that someone had it but was, say, had exposed and tested positive, but they were well, they weren't feeling well, but or were feeling well, weren't sick, and were sent home like these folks in Iowa City, then our public health would be doing remote monitoring, which would mean that we would be in contact with them twice a day, make sure they're not becoming symptomatic, and making sure that, because it's voluntary confinement at that point, and making sure that they're staying home.
Thank you. Thanks, Krista. Gina Harden, Emergency Management.
Good morning. Taking on to Krista's comments about the COVID-19, we are meeting a lot with local partners, getting a lot of questions on the whole COVID response and et cetera. One of the things that Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management is really emphasizing is continuity of operations and continuity of government planning. So we're really urging businesses and obviously all the county department heads to be thinking about, if your employees can't come to work, are you going to close your office? How are you going to operate with limited capacity? I know some of the cities have already made contact with, for example, West Burlington's already contacted IT so that they can cover West Burlington and vice versa in the event something would happen for their IT services. Just kind of thinking outside the box, and how can you still provide those critical source resources and services in a timely manner if you're limited on staff and et cetera. Hopefully the county still has their plan from Y2K. We did that way back when, and if you haven't pulled it out and looked at it, as all of the department heads, I highly encourage you to do that and update that if you haven't already. And with the whole COVID thing, any requests for equipment, supplies, such as masks, gowns, et cetera, all of that, the state has set up a process for that so that if the hospital is low on masks, we have to send that out to our subservice area, see if we can get any resources that way. If none are available, then I have to put in the request to the state for those resources. So it's working like a regular disaster, that all the requests for supplies and equipment run through emergency management. So we're working with entities that are low on supplies and equipment. We do have a tabletop with the hospital this afternoon to see, work with them on their process and et cetera, and get more information on what supplies they may be getting low on. Everything is so just in time anymore for ordering supplies and equipment. So we're gonna see how that goes, and hopefully there won't be a need and everything's gonna be okay, but we need to be ready for that in case that happens. The governor is doing a news conference. I think it's either at 10 or 10:30 this morning as an update, because she did issue a disaster proclamation for the COVID-19 response. The State Emergency Operations Center is partially opened. They're meeting with all the state departments and everybody's role there. In other news, we had our first meeting, Jared, was it last Thursday night? With the hazard mitigation plan, updating the hazard mitigation plan. So you should all be receiving emails from regional planning about obtaining information and updates on that plan. They're gonna try to do a lot of stuff electronically and get that turned around really quickly, because by the end of April, they hope to have a draft plan done for, to do a public hearing, and then bring the final plan to the board for their approval in late April. So that's going to be a pretty quick turnaround for regional planning to get that plan updated, so.
And that's based on requirements with the grant that we received for that.
Yes, yes, and I have confidence they'll get it done, and they've done a great job in the last plan, so. Looking forward to that. Keeping an eye, obviously, on the river forecasts, participating in the webinars that National Weather Service is hosting. Still thinking late March as the crest date, or at least the major flood potential here in southeast Iowa, which with that, it has caused us to, we're working on a drill with Burlington Northern Santa Fe. We've had to change the location from the riverfront to hopefully West Burlington. We'll know more about that. We got a meeting with them tomorrow. We were thankful for the rain because there's been a lot of fires. The fire departments have been out fighting a lot of fires, grass fires, field fires, timber fires, etc. So hopefully this was enough that it'll get us through and we'll start getting some greenery. Hopefully. And then also I had to reschedule my weather spotter class, and that is rescheduled for March 31st. Hopefully it won't snow that day. Let's hope, anyway. And then the statewide tornado drill is on March 25th. So hopefully everybody can participate in that drill. I'll be sending emails out on that as time allows when I get closer to. Normally the courthouse does participate in that drill. As far as I know, they haven't told us any differently, but the time should be the same as they have in the past, with 10 o'clock being the test watch, 10:15 test warning, and 10:30 they'll cancel both the watch and warning. So, obviously, we have a lot going on, being spring, getting ready for storm season, and flooding, etc. Questions?
Yeah. One more thing, would you do me a favor and check the email list for Emergency Management Commission? Mm-hmm. Because the last meeting you had, you moved up 30 minutes, and I never got notice of that, and I was stuck in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. So I sent what I had to Jim, and by the time he got there, the meeting was about over.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can check,
I'll
make sure
check
I get those
list,
emails
I'm
in
sure
the future.
You're on it, but I'll check it.
But I didn't get that one, okay.
We'll do.
Can I add one more thing, that 211, so for anyone out there who has questions, the general public, if they have questions about the COVID-19, they can call 211 and ask those questions.
I forgot about
just
that.
Just like 911, yep. It's just 211.
211, yep.
And they're supposed to have a script that when people call, they have a script to actually answer the questions that the people have, so. We're not sure how well that's working, but the Iowa Department of Public Health was supposed to update that script yesterday, day before. I kind of lost track of time, so.
Thank you. I didn't know that. Didn't miss anybody. Correspondence. I think the gentleman have correspondence.
We did have correspondence from the state legislator, and there's several of those subjects came up, but they reminded us of the legislation that's going through today. Or this week, this session, and it seems that we'll be there. We'll probably lobby for some of them.
Got a couple in mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
all right. Send them a couple of emails. Okay. No further correspondence. We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have payroll claims reimbursement in the amount of $615.01.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a Class C liquor license for Harvest View Farms. That's that new, up there toward Sperry,
yeah.
That new,
venue.
Yeah,
that's what they call
venue,
them nowadays.
Yeah.
New venue, yeah.
And this is a renewal.
Everything's okay on it?
Yep.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have personnel actions. We have two. Conservation, Chris mentioned. We have a Zach Hunter, a summer intern, a new hire. It begins on or after April 2nd. And the new rate is $13 an hour. And we have a Marie Masson, a conservation naturalist intern, a new hire. Begin work on or after May 4th, 2020. New rate is $10 an hour.
Move to approve both of them.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have Steve Gray, full-time correctional officer, retirement, which is effective March 2nd.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And we have local health. We have Ari Kramer, secretary, unpaid leave from March 23rd or April 23rd.
February.
I'll get to it. I only had 10 more months to go through. From February 23rd to March 7th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Thank you, Terry. We have reports. We have the clerk of courts report of fees collected for February 2020. We have general assistance monthly report for February 2020. We have the recorder's report of fees for February 2020 and the sheriff's monthly report for February 2020. All of these reports will be on file in the auditor's office and available for public review. Regular meeting of March 3rd, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And we have a canvas for the March 3rd Burlington Community School District elections.
Nothing has changed since election night, so it still remains the same. 346 yes, 41 no's, with a total of 1.91% turnout.
Almost 2%.
Almost. And on the back side of the report is it shows by precinct the turnout. So kind of a slow day, but that's the final results.
How long were those polls open?
With the new legislature, it was required to open at 7 and close at 8. Where during normal school elections, we allowed them to, in the small cities, they were allowed to open at noon and close at 8. But any election now, they're required to be open the full day, so it was a long day.
Should send this to all our legislators, mm-hmm. Say.
Well, this is a special, so, but yeah, we had to have more precincts open, so.
Well, it's sad, but,
it was just a renewal of a revenue purpose statement, so they weren't voting on a new tax,
or anything like that. It's just how they're going to use that tax.
Yeah. It's still sad, though. I agree with Bob, because if people look on their tax bill that they get from the county, that's where the bulk of the taxes are at, the school. And if you think more than 2% of the people would care about their school system, at least 98% of the people living with what 2% did.
And this is the 1% sales tax, which, yeah, like I said, doesn't, that everybody is charged, so it's not an increase, but it's just how they're going to use it.
Okay. I move to approve. Accept the ballot, or however you want to say it.
Terry.
Did you second that, Jim?
Yes, yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. More signatures required than the turnout.
Those are just the tally books from each of the precincts, so it just shows you what the results were from each one. And they've been compared to the final report, so they all match.
Any other business? Oops. Any other business?
Evident.
Future agenda items. Committee reports. We did the conference board, and we had a public hearing for the assessor's budget.
Yeah.
Passed that. That's the only committee I had.
I sent you the paperwork on
that. Yeah, I appreciate that for security meetings. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, please stand, give us your name and address for the record. See no one rise. With an aye, we are adjourned.
Aye.
We are adjourned.